Hey, this is Tom Waddle. Thanks for listening to the Waddle and Sylvie podcast brought to you by Miller Lite, the presenting sponsor of the 2020 ESPN 1000 Virtual Fantasy Football Championship. Find out how to be a part of it at ESPNFFC.com.
Waddle and Sylvie, weekdays, 2 to 6.
Follow on Twitter at Waddle and Sylvie and at TWaddle87. ESPN 1000.
Chicago's home for sports.
Don't forget, you can listen and watch the show on Twitch.tv. Download the Twitch app. Here's what you got to do, guys. You got to follow us at ESPN 1000 Chicago. It's a great new way to take in the Waddle and Sylvie show and all our local shows on ESPN 1000. And it's all powered to you by Hawkeyes Bar and Grill and Miller Lite. All right. Michael Wilbon joins us each and every Wednesday at 5 o'clock. Abdali's brought to you by Waddle's Guys.
He's brought to you by HawkAuto.com. Get a Ford, Chevy, Chrysler, Jeep, Dodge, Ram, Subaru, Cadillac, Mazda, and VW all in one place. HawkAuto.com, where Chicagoland saves big. Waddle's so much better at that than me.
Uh-oh. Guess what day it is? Guess what day it is? Huh? Anybody? Guess what today is?
It's Wilbon Day. Chicago native Michael Wilbon, host of Pardon the Interruption, with Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN Chicago.
Michael, how you doing today? Everything going well?
Everything's going as well as can be expected in these times we live in.
Yeah, that's for sure. I want to get to the big story with college football, and I know that you are hot about that. Before I get to that really quick, because we're on this topic, and you love going to games still as much as I do, and you may have been in this game, at this game, but earlier today we celebrated the two-year anniversary of the David Bodie Grand Slam walk-off game, and we asked all our callers, we had a ton of callers, which regular season game do you remember going to where you were like, cool, I'm going to this game, but you walked out of the stadium or arena saying, oh, my God, that was some of the coolest stuff I've ever been at.
I walked out of the David Bodie game.
You left the David Bodie game early?
Yeah. I'm pretty sure that was the game. We talked about this in real live time. Okay. That was the Grand Slam, right?
Right. 2 years ago tonight.
Matthew, that's the game. Matthew and I were there. And I said, Matty, let's go. Let's beat the traffic. We got no shot. Oh, he said, Dad, we can hit a Grand Slam and win the game. And I go, yeah, that's nice. Let's go. And we walked to my mother's house. And we could hear, my phone started to just erupt. And then you could hear something. I just said, oh, no.
Oh, boy.
Oh, no. This is an all-time bad decision. I don't know that I remember regular season game. First of all, what you described has happened many times.
Right.
But remember, I've been to hundreds of baseball games and hundreds of NBA games. I've been to 30 years worth of football games. So I had hundreds of those too. No, I'm sure if I was going to whittle it down, they would either be some Michael Jordan regular season game or some Bears game in 85, 86, 87, back in there with Walter Plan that I remember if I could come up with the details. But there's just too many games. It's just college games. I mean, college basketball and college football games, they're just too many. There's just hundreds and hundreds and hundreds. So ultimately what happens is I remember the postseason things. They jump because they're elimination games in many cases.
Of course. All right, so to the topic of the day, I tuned in yesterday, of course, after our show, and I saw you on PTI. You're mad at Nebraska, aren't you, and other teams?
No, I'm mad at Scott Frost. I'm not mad at him. I'm not mad. I'm like, don't come into conference and be here for 2 minutes and tell us you want to go play somewhere else. Then go play somewhere else. But just give us a check for $52 million on the way out the door. I'm not mad at Nebraska at all. They're mad at me, and, I don't give a damn. But I have close friends in Nebraska that I spent talking about this stuff last night and this morning. And Scott Frost comes out and says, we'll go play somewhere. Go, then go. Then have, everybody sells out in college sports and all sports. But you sold out. Your school sold out. $52 million a year. Don't forget that. I'm going to go play somewhere else. What, the SEC wants you? I don't think so. You're not good enough anymore. Nebraska football is not that good anymore. They're not good enough to just stand on the corner and say, come get us. And if he wants to go back to the Big 12 so much, then let him. I mean, you know, the Big Ten is 125 years old, 1895. 125 years old. 116 of those years have been conducted without Nebraska. So don't tell me we need Scott Frost. And Desmond Howard said this more eloquently than I did, and he's more forceful because he's Desmond F. Howard, okay? Yeah. He won a Heisman. And maybe Scott Frost just figures, you know, he grew up playing in the Big 12. Maybe the Big 10 doesn't mean anything to him. Then get out. You that big or bad a dude, then leave.
Do you
but
think
leave a check for $52 million at the door.
Do you think that the kids that aren't going to be able to play in the fall, let's say the Big 12 does get rolling, the SEC does get rolling, do you think kids like Justin Fields should be able to transfer to those schools to try to get an opportunity to play?
I don't know. Are those schools going to have scholarships available? Are they going to have money? Are they going to have the resources necessary to take in how many kids? You just want to cite Justin Fields? You want to cite one kid? Justin Fields ain't the only kid who's going to want to transfer to one of those schools.
Of course not, yeah.
Well, I mean, so what are we talking about? What are the rules? I'm not even upset with anybody, Nebraska or anybody else, for saying, hey, we need to explore these possibilities. What are we going to do about this? What are we going to do here? Here's where I think we should play. That's not the problem. The problem is I'm just going to go somewhere else and play, even though I'm a third-year coach or whatever it is. And I'm in a school that's been here a minute and a half, and this conference took me in because I sold out and wanted the money. Now, all those things that you mentioned, those questions, that stuff's got to be decided. And it's hard. And I'm not saying I got the answers, but what Desmond Howard was saying more eloquently than me was you don't get to just come into conference and then bail the moment something doesn't go your way. If you do want to bail, leave the check and actually leave. So, I don't know about Justin. What's going to happen with all these kids in their eligibility? Can you give them another year? How many kids can get another year? Even if they've been a fifth-year kid, can they get a sixth year? I don't know the answer to all these things. These are things the conferences have to figure out, all of them. They got to figure this stuff out for spring sports we just missed. I'm not even sure they figured that out yet. So all these things are hard. These things are difficult. And nobody should act as if, well, I want to compete. Like, you're the one who wants to compete? You think Fitz doesn't want to compete up the road 20 minutes? Of course he does. So that's what pisses me off yesterday, today, and furthermore.
So do you believe that the Big Ten could have waited a little bit longer before making the choice?
Could have. Sure. I just said on PTI, I don't mind the Big 12 saying, let's hold on for a while. Let's see where we are. I don't mind that. But I also know that the Big 10 consulted any number of scientists and medical experts, and those people did not see a way forward. And that's what I believe in. I believe in the science. I don't believe in football coaches. Not when it comes to that. I believe in football coaches coaching and teaching football. And even molding young men, if you want to go to that cliche. But I'm not going to football coaches for my science. And if the Big Ten presidents, not the coaches, the presidents, are satisfied with the medical and scientific experts they talk to, and I know they are because I have some sense of this, then I'm okay with that. I would have been okay with them if they had said, let's wait a while. Let's wait 6 weeks and then see where we are. I would have been okay with that too.
It's going to be interesting to see how these conferences play this out, because if you try to me, Michael, you can't say that you care about student safety and have them not play because of coronavirus, but then you want to have them play two seasons in 1 year. To me, that doesn't make sense.
It doesn't, but you also may not be able to say I care about health and safety and have them play at all in the fall. We have to see which way is the world tilting. So, no, you may not be able to have them play in the spring and then play spring and fall back-to-back, but you may not be able to have them play this fall at all if you were listening to your scientists. I'm not a denier, and there are people in this country who are deniers. I'm not with that.
Right.
And I don't mind calling it out where I see it. And different parts of this country behave differently. And so the Big Ten schools are not in the Southeast. They serve different constituents. They have different agendas. And that's okay. We got different agendas anyway. I'm quick to acknowledge that all the time. Clemson's agenda and Northwestern's agenda are not the same. While they both may be playing Division One, college Division 1A, we used to call it college football, doesn't mean their constituents are the same and their agendas are exactly the same. And that is definitely the case as we deal with this pandemic. Just look at the country. Look at what is. If you think that Chicago is not a hell of a lot different than what's going on in Florida, somebody's not paying attention.
You're saying that it is different or it's not different?
It is different.
Yeah.
It is different.
Because we're taking more precautions here.
Well, it's different. We are dealing with it differently. We believe in different things. And those things are very much reflective of the way, or the differences in the country and the places that we live.
What if Jim Harbaugh said, a team that it does have the history in the Big Ten, and a guy who desperately wants to play, saying that, look, the kids are under our structure, they're safer here than they are if they were just going to school, then not going to football practice.
I'm not taking his word for that.
No.
He's a football coach. I'll take his president's word because he's an epidemiologist. I'm not taking the word of football coaches for science.
Do you have a problem with coaches speaking out against their presidents?
I'm not speaking out against them, no. No, I don't have a problem with that. But then I can decide who I'm going to believe. And by the way, Michigan saying that, being an original member of the Big Ten for 125 years, is different than Nebraska saying it.
That's what I was wondering. Like, if he said, look... And look, if he had a medical, if they have a doctor at Michigan, and he says, look, we have no positive cases. We want to play football. We want to scrimmage another team. Are you up for that?
That's not what they said. Again, Michigan is a bad example to use, Sylvie.
No, I know. That's why I'm asking.
Because they actually got a guy. So if their president said that, but we don't have to go to if. Their president hasn't said that. Okay. He said the opposite. So let's go with what is actually being said. I don't need the ifs. But if Jim Harbaugh wants to say something else different than that, it's fine as a representative of Michigan, an original member of the Big Ten, 125 years solid. That's different. Then I don't want to hear from Nebraska, Maryland, Rutgers, not even Penn State.
Yeah.
Not in that way. Be a little bit deferential while you take the money. We know what you are. Everybody's sold out. But just, act like you're a newcomer because you are.
Do you think this affects the NFL at all, or is the NFL looking at being able to have games on Friday and Saturday now?
Well, they're looking at it. What percentage of baseball's games have been canceled? What are they looking at? What you're looking at and what you are able to do are two different things. The St. Louis Cardinals have played like six games, haven't they, or seven?
Five.
Okay. So what are they looking at?
Can you believe that?
Okay, so if I'm to listen to all the football coaches and say, let's just play, baseball wants to, you think those baseball players don't want to play? This whole notion that some football coaches step out there and say, we want to play. I mean, so what? A lot of people want to play. A lot of people want to play. Think the St. Louis Cardinals don't want to play? We fall for anything sometimes. And we just want football. The whole culture just wants football. Well, there's something bigger out there right now that may trump it. Pun intended.
Yeah. All right. So I want to get to some other things. I want to find out what you think after one game of the Blackhawks in this series.
Yes.
I turned
off at 4-1. What was the final?
You can't keep turning off these games and leaving early. You never know what's going to... 4-1.
What was the final?
It was 4-1.
Okay.
But the Bodie game should have taught you.
Come on now.
I know. So when I ask you about that, I want to get to the NBA bubble and what they've been able to do.
Sounds good
stuff, at least, with the NHL and the NBA.
Yeah, absolutely good stuff.
More with Wilbon coming up next. Our conversation with Michael Wilbon continues. He joins us each and every Wednesday at 5 o'clock. Waddle is out today. Abdallah and Meller are in as we continue the Waddle and Sylvie show. All right, Blackhawks last night, Michael, they did not play well. They did surprise us by beating Edmonton. Do you give them any chance against Vegas?
Yeah. I've been covering. I've been in too many series in my life to go crazy over one game. And look, you know, we know the teams can get blitzed by really good teams, and we are talking about a 1-8 situation. But I was actually, I guess, relieved the Blackhawks were going to play Vegas as opposed to Colorado. But I, you know, it's one game. Let me not get too crazy. I did watch the entire Edmonton series, and last night at 2-1, I was hopeful, and then, you know, two quick goals sort of put that out of reach, and I resumed. I went back and reveled in a nice, soft 7-1 Cubs lead in terms of television watching. So, but I'll be right back in front of the TV for game two.
Yeah, I don't think they're out of it yet, but you're also not in the camp of people that saying that they should have lost that Edmonton series to get a better pick in the draft to shore up their young core.
No, I don't. No, the hell with that.
You know what you're talking about.
I love it. Listen, sometimes I just got to make sure. You know, I just got to make sure.
No, all those young guys, and the Hawks have a posse of young guys. They're all better served by grinding through a series like that with Kane and Taves playing so well. No, all you got to do is look at the Phoenix Suns, right? I mean, they wanted to play. And everybody said, what are they putting them in for? And that was a legit point to say, what are they putting them in for? But those guys wanted to play. I talked to Devin Booker in Arizona when I was out there in May, before they went to the bubble. And Devin looked at me straight up and he said, dude, we want to play. We want to play. We're excited about playing. Guys are practicing. We're ready to go. Well, they didn't disappoint, did they? And it's unbelievable. They're undefeated in the bubble. And I think, and that's a young team. They don't even have two Hall of Famers who are decorated like the Blackhawks do. They only got young guys. And I know this serves them well for next year. And I got to think this serves the Blackhawks well, even if they don't win a game. Now, I'm certainly hoping they win game two and then make this a series.
Yeah. Because hockey's weird, too. Like, it's less predictable than basketball. And basketball's been unpredictable.
Because of goaltending.
Yeah. Right.
You know, Corey, it was great. You know, that third goal last night was a killer, kind of down 2-1. But that's okay. I mean, Crawford's earned all the praise and any benefit of the doubt. And so, yeah, goaltending, and he did this against Edmonton. We just saw it. So he's still capable of doing it.
So back to the bubble, too, NBA-wise. I want to ask you, why do you think there are a lot of things happening in the bubble that we didn't expect? Whether it is the Suns, whether it is T.J. Warren. And I know he was good before the bubble, but he wasn't, like, leading scorer good.
Right.
Why is a lot of the unpredictable stuff happening in the NBA, which we usually don't see?
It's pretty simple, actually, because I've heard this from guys in the bubble. And that is, look, they got nothing else to do. They got plenty of time to lock in on game plans and practice. You know, when you're this late in the regular season going into the playoffs, guys haven't practiced. Coaches are trying to let injuries heal. They cannot practice them. They're practicing. They're watching video. They're studying game plans. They got nothing else going on. There are no other distractions. And so you're seeing like a laboratory where you got the best possible, you know, lab experiment going on. And I tell you something else I didn't even think of. I heard somebody say this. The shooting backgrounds are so good. You're getting some of these shooting nights because the courts are really tight, obviously. And even though you got video boards at one end, the courts are, the baskets are tight to the wall. You don't have empty arena space with, like, you know, 6,000 seats behind the basket because they're not playing in those kinds of arenas. And I would never thought of that. That's going to take shooters to think of that and explain it. But I think you've got a combination of things happening in there that are all conducive to this sort of great basketball explosion we've seen. And the same thing in the NHL.
You mentioned the guys that are locked in on nothing but basketball right now, but the NBA sent out a memo about who can and can't come into the bubble once you're allowed guests. What did you make of the no casual encounters, essentially?
I don't believe the
NBA.
I'm not buying that. I don't know what to make of any of it yet. Let's see what actually happens. I don't buy that clause. I'll tell you that right now. And I don't know who's going to govern it. I mean, how's it going to be governed? What if are they going to just have a militaristic, you know, sort of governance of who's in? Maybe they will.
Screening process.
I don't know.
Michael, look, you've been following the science. You've been big on this. I don't know if any of this can work. We've been with you, too. So they've done such a good job at look, if someone steps away and they go for wings, then Lou Williams has to say.
You got to quarantine.
And I don't want people coming in who shouldn't be there and bringing down the whole damn sport. So,
well, remember,
yes,
whoever comes in has to be tested. Over and over and over.
Well,
they're not coming in.
Background checks, Wilbon. Background checks. Background checks. I want it all done.
I don't care about background checks. Just test them. I don't need to know about their. I don't need to know about the quality of their character. I want to know if they test negative. That's it. That's it. That's the only governance that's needed. You test negative today. If not, get out.
Yeah. I don't know. And then, Abdallah, are you still anti-family? Like, well,
no,
Abdallah thinks that, like...
I just think, Michael, I think that if guys are locked in, right, and they're, like, before they go to the bubble, they're like, look, if we make it to the second round, you and the kids can come. And then you get guys on the Suns that are like, look, I'm locked in. We've got a shot at this. Maybe stay home till I'm done. Maybe don't. Maybe I don't need the distraction.
They're not saying that.
Maybe I don't need the distraction.
The greatest basketball in the history of the world has been played by people like Wilt Chamberlain, who, trust me, had distractions.
I'm just saying, as a guy with a wife but no kids, I'm fine saying, hey, I'm on a business trip. I'll be back when I'm done.
Your business trip doesn't last 4 months, does it?
No, it doesn't.
I didn't think so.
One other note before we let you go, and I apologize if I brought this up before, but Brett Favre just commented about it.
What happened?
So Favre was on a pod. Do you have the podcast? Let's play it for Will.
Yeah, I got it right here.
And I want to. So there's talk about Rodgers and the Packers having the falling out. So Favre was asked this question. Take a listen.
Where do you think he could go that would inflict the most punishment on the Packers? Like, say he wanted to go your route. You want to show him that you still got it. I was thinking the Bears, because the Bears got a pretty uneasy quarterback situation.
I would love to see that. I mean, that would.
You'd love to see Aaron Rodgers on the
Bears? Well, I mean, just from a standpoint of we have killed the Bears collectively.
Yes.
And, I mean, Bear fans would probably be like, I can't believe I'm saying this, but I am so glad Aaron Rodgers is on our team.
Oh, they would embrace him in a hot second.
In a heartbeat.
Absolutely. Who wouldn't? I mean, who wouldn't? Yeah. He instantly makes you a contender.
All right, so that was a load management podcast on Complex. And it was Favre saying he would love to see Rodgers in a Bears uniform. If it doesn't work out with Foles and Mitch in a couple of years, can you see this happening?
Forget a couple of years. Go for it now. Go for it now. Try to get Aaron Rodgers now. With what Aaron Rodgers said last week, you can tell. He's like, okay, you know, if make it happen. There's a fissure already there. What are you waiting for? A couple of years? Who needs a couple of years of waiting? I mean, the Bears don't ever get it right when it comes to quarterback anyway. So go get Aaron Rodgers. Now, this is not hard. I mean, if you could do it, and yes, it was funny to hear Favre say, I know they'd be hard to admit it. No, we wouldn't be. Let us have Rodgers.
Well, but people have said
I'll spring for the plane to fly him in from wherever he needs to be flown in from.
And I'm with you, but some of our fans have said they'd rather lose without Rodgers than win with him.
They're fools. You should ban them from the air. They should never be allowed on your airwaves again. And by the way, those are the same people who said, no, I don't want Dennis Rodman. He can't help us.
Right, or Bob Prober.
So they're idiots. I'm not listening to them.
I'm just worried about what Ryan Pace would give up to get him.
Wait, that's the problem. You don't know what move. Look, he's made some terrific moves and he made some bonehead moves. You don't know which way he'd go.
Yeah, not with the quarterback, though. They've all been bonehead.
The quarterback moves have been kind of bonehead.
Yeah.
I don't mind having Foles. I really don't. I don't mind that. I mean, I don't necessarily know what the competition will do. You know, competition, I mean, people can say that. And then, you know, these things have blown up in teams' faces. So I don't know what it's going to do. But if you could get Aaron Rodgers, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I'm taking Aaron Rodgers.
I'm glad to hear you say that. Michael, have a great week. Hi to Matthew, and stay safe, okay?
All right, you guys. Be well.
There you go. There's Michael Wilbon every Wednesday at 5 o'clock. Some good stuff there. Some predictable stuff. Some not so predictable stuff with the Rodgers love.
I think I've listened. He wants to win. He's just as angry as every other Bears fan that just wants to win and doesn't care who the quarterback is at this point that doesn't. Right? I mean, I think that's what it is.
I thought he would say it's unrealistic. The Packers are never going to trade him to the Bears. But it was more in the Mellor camp that's saying instead of waiting 2 years, maybe it could happen next year. Like during now, I don't know if it could happen, but it's something that I am definitely going to entertain and keep my mind to because I don't think there's a better solution at this point. And we'll continue the conversation in a bit. Also, we've got Chuck Garfind coming up. The White Sox, after not looking good and being questioned by their veteran pitcher that they just signed, have reeled off a couple of wins. We'll talk to Chuck, see where his optimism is flowing next.
It's Waddle and Sylvie.
Hi.
Hi.
Follow us on the gram at Waddle and Sylvie and at ESPN _ Chicago. This is Chicago's home for sports, ESPN 1000. This is Waddle and Sylvie.
Talk to Chuck.
Talking Sox.
Talk to Chuck.
With White Sox pre- and post-game host Chuck Garfine.
Talk to Chuck.
White Sox talk.
Talk to Chuck.
With Chuck.
Talk to Chuck.
Chuck Garfine.
Talk to Chuck.
Chuck Garfine joins Waddle and Sylvie.
Talk to Chuck.
To break down the Southsiders.
Talk to Chuck.
Every Wednesday.
Talk to Chuck.
On ESPN Chicago.
Talk to Chuck.
All right, a nice win today. A couple in a row from the White Sox. 7-5 come from behind win. Nice bounce back from Dylan Cease in the middle of some adversity. And as I've been saying, the White Sox have shown that they've got the chops to go through some of these little bit of a slump and bounce back from it. And that's the way it's supposed to work, as I just tweeted out, that Dallas Keuchel says what he says. And people do a little bit of a self-check. Tim Anderson comes back. Has four hits today, and the White Sox have won a couple in a row. Chuck, it's got to make you feel good.
Yeah, this feels a whole lot better. Monday, it was rock bottom. I mean, the Sox had a rough series with the Indians, rough loss on Sunday night baseball. They come into Detroit. The Tigers, let's be honest, not a good team, even though they were after they beat them on Monday, they were four games over 500 at 9-5, but that's just not a good team. That's a paper tiger, in my opinion. But they lose that game. Keuchel pitched really well. He's been great. And after the game, he just called everybody out. And it said what needed to be said. He looked around. He's like, guys, some of these guys are just going through the motions. They are kind of sleepwalking through this. And we cannot have this. If you want to win your winning team and be a playoff team, you can't take nights off like this. And he was speaking of some of the guys, didn't single out anyone in particular, but he delivered the message to the clubhouse and then went and spoke to the media and said the same thing. And he's a guy whose voice carries a lot of weight. He's won a Cy Young Award. He's won a World Series. And if I had to hire a motivational speaker, I would hire Dallas Keuchel right about now, because it has worked, as they've won two games in a row and they've been a much better team on the field. And I think this is going to carry over. I sure hope it does going forward.
Were you surprised that it was Dallas Keuchel and not someone who's been on the team longer?
You know what? I think it had to be someone like Keuchel, because to be honest with you, everyone who's been on the team before, they've never won. They don't know what it takes to win, have a winning record, to go to the playoffs and win in the playoffs. None of them have done that in the major leagues. That's why guys like Keuchel, Grandal, Encarnacion, Gio Gonzalez were brought here. They know what to do. And I think those young nucleus of guys, they're looking for leaders to show them the way and to know what it takes to win. And because honestly, even Jose Abreu, he could say he's a winning player, but he doesn't even know what it's like to be in the playoffs. So it had to come from someone of Keuchel's ilk, and I think that just shows you. I mean, Dallas set the tone back in spring training. He had a dinner. He paid about $25,000, and he invited everybody to it. And when I say everybody, I'm saying every player, their girlfriends, their wives, staff members, they were all invited. And that was when his mom gave a motivational speech herself, got up in front of everybody and said very famously, playoffs or die, blank. And I think the White Sox got the message then that Dallas Keuchel's here for one thing and one thing only, and that is to make the playoffs. So when he saw the effort that was given on Monday in Detroit, he's like, this is unacceptable. I'm nipping this in the bud right here, right now. And I'm not saying he did it in an angry way, but he did it with a kind of a forceful way. Like, this is unacceptable. We're better than this. Let's go out and prove it.
Yeah, I like it. I think that he's the perfect guy for the job. I also believe, Chuck, that he was talking about the manager, too. When he was talking about, hey, every game is big, that you can't take a night off. I didn't like that Robert was out. I understand that he's going to go through some valleys as a rookie. But a week ago, Chuck, we were just talking about Robert as a superstar. And his one hit today, he drives in three. It was the big hit of the game. To me, when you have Tim Anderson out, when Encarnacion is out, Aloy had been slumping, I don't want Robert out of the game. And I believe Keuchel was pointing a finger as well to the manager.
Right. Well, okay. So there's two things to say about that. One is I agree with you. Now, Robert has not looked the same in the last week at the plate. He is swinging at everything. And all he needs to do is just make some contact, and the ball is going to do some special things like it did today. Like, he hit the ball with the base loaded and two outs. I'm thinking, oh, this is a high ball to right field. Oh, no, it was inches away from a grand slam. It ended up being a bases-clearing double that turned the whole game around. So, yes, having his bat in the lineup is crucial. I'm not sure about the inner workings as to why he did not play on Monday. But I would put him in there as much as possible. Just his bat. And he just needs the experience. Any game he's not playing, you're like, well, he's sitting on the bench. Unless that was the experience you wanted him to have, was to watch and take a mental break. So maybe that's it, and Rick Renteria is high on that. So to what you said about Keuchel's message, I don't think it was Rick Renteria had nothing to do with it, because Renteria, a couple years ago, I had a conversation with him about this, and I know he's spoken about it since. He doesn't want to be the guy that has to get the clubhouse all rah-rah and deliver the message that's going to, you know, get the team going all the time. He wanted to get to the point where the players would do it. And that's a sign of a team that's ready to win. And when they were rebuilding, they weren't ready to win. So a lot of the messaging had to come from Renteria. He now looks at this team as, okay, now it should come from the clubhouse. And I think Renteria knew, if I'm reading between the lines of what Renteria said at his post-game press conference, this was while I think Keuchel was delivering this message to the team. I think Renteria knew what was going on. This was by design, it may have come from Keuchel, but Renteria was aware of it. And I don't think he needs to be that guy that's like, all right, it's on me, I'm going to tell you what to do. I think it had to come from the players, and I'm glad it came from Keuchel.
Tim Anderson has four hits today, five runs in the last 2 days. How much different is the White Sox lineup with him at the top?
Well, it's much different, and it was interesting today because he hits a home run, pimps it. This is leading off the game, 10-pitch at bat, too, against Matthew Boyd. He's rounding third base, and he shushes. And I'm thinking he's shushing the crowd, or the lack thereof crowd. Like, I thought he might have been showing up the Tigers. No, he said afterwards he was shushing the critics. And even, I mean, if you want to say critics, he was shushing White Sox fans because he heard all the talk about how Luis Robert should be the leadoff guy. And he said after the game, look, I was just, you know, trying to, you know, put that to rest, put that to sleep. And he says, look, nothing against Luis Robert, but leadoff hitter, come on. Like, he wants to be that leadoff hitter. And I think he's I thought when Robert was playing the way he was as a leadoff hitter, I'm like, this is a great guy to lead off. But I wasn't saying, you know, Tim Anderson couldn't do it. So he set the tone today. Four hits. He was a double away from the cycle. And when he's at the top of the lineup, I mean, he does have that energy. And this team was missing that energy. He really stirs the pot with the lineup. I think he's a great table setter. He's not your prototypical one. He doesn't get a lot of walks, but his first at bat when he came off the injured list was an 8-pitch walk last night. So he's become a more mature hitter, player, all-around player. His defense, you know, has some lapses at times, but that will get better. I just love how he's playing and what he's bringing to this team.
Let me sell you a nickname for one of your pre- or post-game shows for a player on the White Sox. How about Spider-Man for Aloy? Because he's always in the net. He's always in the web.
He is. He needs some web gems, a few of those, too.
That no, I'm not going to get those, Chuck. He's not getting one of those.
No, no. I mean, yeah, he's – it was kind of – the fact that he didn't get hurt, you can laugh at it, what he, like, kind of ended up in the web of the netting. Yeah, I mean, his defense is average. And if he can just be average, I'm fine with that. And he's going to have his moments where he's just not going to look right out there. And I just don't want him to get hurt. And his body awareness could probably improve out there in left field. But you know what? I don't know if I've told you guys this before, but, I mean, there are times where he just stretches games, even weeks, where he's just fine out there. But every once in a while, he goes crashing into the net or the wall or ends up on the injured list. And that is where
you don't
he needs
that.
To stop that. Stop it. So, you know, I get it. It's an accident sometimes waiting to happen when the ball goes out there and he's trying to be Luis Robert. And he's unfortunately Aloy Jimenez outfielder, not Luis Robert. So he needs to, you know, pump the brakes. And there was another example of he needed to pump the brakes when the ball was going in foul territory. He just can't help himself. And I don't know what more can be said. It's got to eventually come from him to know what he can do and what he cannot do. And that's the end of it.
Chuck Garfine joining us. He's brought to you by Tito's Handmade Vodka. Visit them at titosvodka.com. So the White Sox are off tomorrow. Are they going to have a four-day weekend, or are they going to play on Friday?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. I think everything's on hold. I think, well, they're off tomorrow for sure. So the Cardinals are supposed to come to town. The Sox have, all we know officially, is that the White Sox have pushed Giolito and Keuchel back a day. They're going Saturday and Sunday. Friday is TBA. Now, is Friday TBA as a bullpen day? Or is Friday TBA as in, we're not playing the game because the Cardinals aren't going to be ready by then? We do not know. I think they're waiting to see the latest test results from the Cardinals, and if everything, according to Bob Nightingale of USA Today, they have not tested positive, none of them, since Sunday. If they get the green light, all right, no more positives today, does that mean there's a game on Friday or Saturday? I don't know, but I think the White Sox and the Cardinals will be in a holding pattern until we have a better idea of the situation with the Cardinals and what they can actually do and when they can actually play.
Would you be nervous?
Would I be nervous if what?
That even if they test negative, that it's their first game up against the White Sox.
Yeah, I hear what you're saying, and I'm not a doctor, okay? So all I can go on is facts and what medical doctors would recommend. And if the medical people say it's safe for them to play a baseball game against them, then I'm okay with that. Now, that being said, what are the chances if someone is asymptomatic on the Cardinals? This is a pretty much socially distanced game. It's not perfect. I know. I get it. But if I was, say, a White Sox player and I saw the history with the Cardinals, I would play, but I would probably keep my distance. I would be definitely wearing a mask the whole game because I'm not really sure about it, unless they can tell me something that I don't know. But then again, what does anybody seem to know? I don't know. I mean, that's where we're at. 2020 is, I don't know.
Right.
Because I don't know. So you're right. It's, Sylvie, you asked a great question. I had not thought it through because you're hearing, well, if you can be asymptomatic for 2 weeks, well, we're only going on a week now with the Cardinals. So you asked a question, and if I don't know the answer, and I hope someone who does this for a living has a better answer than I do.
Good stuff, though, Chuck. Really appreciate it. Keep up the great work with Ozzy. You guys are looking good. Thank you.
We're having a lot of fun. And what we'll talk Nick Swisher as much as possible with the
Yeah, you know it. We love that. Yeah.
You brought him up for no reason with the bobblehead in Uribe the other day.
By the way, and today we surprised Ozzy on the postgame show by giving him a Nick Swisher bobblehead.
That's awesome. Keep it going. Keep it lit. You know that with Ozzy. Thanks,
yes,
Chuck.
Yes.
We appreciate
it. See you guys.
There you go. All right. Speaking of the Sox, Freddie Huebner is doing the baseball show, so we're going to crosstalk with Fred coming up next.
This hour is brought to you by Trend Micro Cloud One, the world's leading security services platform for cloud builders. Visit trendmicro.com/ESPN for more info.
Chicago's home for sports is on Twitch. Follow ESPN 1000 Chicago today.
You're listening to Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
All right, Abdallah in with me today. Waddle will be back tomorrow. Jeff Meller is here, as usual, as well. And coming up with the baseball show. And remember, we made those big moves where Jonathan Hood is moving to the mornings with Cap starting at 7 o'clock on Monday. So today in for Hoodie, since Hoodie is no longer on the baseball show, Fred Huebner is here, and he loves baseball. I'm sure he was loving some Sox math this afternoon as the White Sox won and came from behind. What's up, Freddie?
It's nice to watch the White Sox in silence. I'll tell you, that mute button never came in handy more than it does now.
That's
unbelievable.
Nuts.
Listen, on the baseball show, I'm just trying not to lose listeners before the Young Bucks take it over on Monday. Because I want to
you
make sure
Bucks,
that
right?
are there. I said Bucks. Yes, I made sure. I said.
I'm not sure. It didn't sound like Bucks.
It sounded exactly like Bucks. I made sure I did. You know, unless Giannis is one of them. What a joke! One game. That's the NBA for you. This is a good reason for me not to watch the NBA. One game suspension. He should be suspended first game playoffs.
Well, look, Major League Baseball doesn't suspend anyone for cheating. So I mean, you're ripping the NBA, but all
he
those guys are
the guy.
They cheated their way to a World Series.
Kind of.
Headbutted a guy.
This wasn't like what's his name? Zidane headbutt. Like this is just
How many games in your book, Freddie, should he have gotten? He got one.
At least into the playoffs.
So
he'll
two.
Teach people. Yeah. Teach people not to do stuff stupid stuff.
It was stupid. But look,
it was very stupid.
I wouldn't want my star getting into anything, let alone headbutting somebody. Get a concussion from that.
Yeah. Listen, I'm just trying. This is the first time, and I don't know if anybody else knows this. This is the first time I've been on the air during the week since the day Rudy Gobert tested positive for COVID. It's been exactly 5 months. That was March 13th. Today's the August 12th. It's exactly 5 months because it was a Wednesday night I was on with Tyler, who's producing for us tonight, and we're sitting here and stuff's flying. All of a sudden, games are canceled and Gobert tests positive. It was crazy, but that's how long it's been. So I'm just happy to talk to you, Sylvie. I haven't talked to you. You know, I've only talked to Abdallah, Black, Xander, and Hanley over the last and Meller over the last 5 months.
Well, how's your knee? Are you okay, by the way? I wanted to what happened to you in Vegas was one of the saddest things that I've read, and I honestly, I don't know, Fred. I could laugh because it's you. There was a part of it that whatever could go wrong did go wrong. But man, I wanted to give you a gigantic hug.
Yeah. For those who don't know, I went to Vegas last week. That's one of the reasons I'm not in the studio because I'm self quarantining for 2 weeks. But on the way to the airport, I got a hit and run accident. The guy clipped the back end of my car and kept going. And then the first night in Vegas, I slip on what we determined later was a mojito by the mint leaves and the limes that were on the floor. And I slipped on it at the Cosmopolitan and I pulled my hamstring and smacked my knee on the marble floor. That was a fun way to start the trip. You know, when you guys have been to Vegas, when you go to Vegas, the strip is like six lanes. There's three lanes each way. It's when the light changes, they give you 36 seconds to get across the street. I made it with 2 seconds to spare. Just barely.
Wow, that's slow.
Guys in walkers were passing me up. It was crazy.
You know, you said you didn't want to sue, but why not get like a free meal out of it? Did you ask them for anything?
They asked me twice if I was stayed at the hotel, and I said no. And then before I signed anything, I said, listen, unless the Cosmo's going to give me something. And both the security people and the guard there said, no, that's not going to happen. They did give me something. They gave me 2 4-by-4-inch ice packs that lasted about 15 minutes each. And set me on my way.
Did you get crutches in Vegas?
No.
Okay.
No. I just lived. I just limped. I pulled my hamstring before, once bowling and once trying to impress my then wife because I was trying to throw the ball fast on a speed pitch. My foot hit the gravel and it slid and I pulled a hamstring. Oh. So I knew with that. So what, am I going to go sit in a COVID-filled Nevada hospital for 5 or 6 hours for them to say, here's some ice and ibuprofen? So it didn't make any sense.
So what are you playing at today? What percent?
Today, probably 85. I'm doing okay. Yeah, staying home is easy. I'm walking around the house usually when I'm on the phone with people. But, yeah, I haven't been able to walk my 5 miles as I usually been doing. Yeah. But I'm okay. I'm fine. Yeah. I'll be good. As you know, as Wani said, he'll be fine.
Oh, jeez, he's fine.
As long as you've got socks, Math, you'll be okay.
Oh, God. And now they've added like 4 other things. It's crazy.
I love it.
Today, real quickly, when Tim Anderson's going for the cycle, they talked the entire at-bat about the AL Central against the NL Central and never mentioned he was going for the cycle until he made the out. Come on.
I love Jason Benetti.
It's brutal. Someone's got to.
You're awful. All right, what's coming up on the baseball show?
Well, Dylan Cease has gone 2 straight games where he's gone 5 innings and 6 innings, and they're the least impressive 5 and 6 inning performances you'll ever see. And the White Sox won both of them. We'll also talk about a little bit about the Cubs. I know they're on right now. Rizzo going deep. That's always nice. He was on earlier.